Imagine yourself at the scene. You're at the Sea of Tiberias. Simon Peter and his fishing buddies have left Jerusalem behind after witnessing the simultaneously awful and yet awesome events of Holy Week and subsequent day of resurrection. And now a week later, they're at home, out on the lake, trying to put their lives back together. They're back to where their story began 3 years ago. And back to their normal routine, they fish all night and catch nothing. An experience that leaves them feeling tired and frustrated. Then a stranger appears on the beach at dawn. It's that time of morning when shapes cannot take on color or features for lack of light. But somehow out of the shape, a voice calls out, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat." And I can imagine the disciples' response to that probably unwarranted and unwanted suggestion. Who does he think he is, anyhow? Telling us to cast our nets to the right as if that's going to make any difference. What does he think we've been doing all night? Sitting and chatting in the boat? But no one seems to have any better ideas, as the sun rises, the time for fishing will be over anyway. So they cast the net to the right. And, well, you know the rest. The net is so full of fish that they can't haul it in. The disciple whom Jesus loved now shouts, "It is the Lord." And Simon does a double take, and he too sees that it's Jesus. Impetuously, his first instinct is to jump overboard then and there, but he has both the rare presence of mind to realize that he's been working through the night, clad suitably only for fishing with the guys, and certainly not for socializing. So in a rare sense of modesty, he grabs a pair of shorts, puts them on, leaps into the sea, and swims to the shore, leaving the others to get the fish in the boat and the boat to shore. Within minutes, all the disciples are there on shore with Jesus, and he directs them to give him some of the fish that they've just caught. Peter jumps back in the boat, grabs a bunch of fish, and hauls it to the shore himself. And meanwhile, a charcoal fire is lit and the smoke is wafting through the cool morning air. And the fish, which to this day is known as St. Peter's fish, is frying over the fire. Together they eat the fish and the bread that Jesus has provided. It is a meal of abundance. And when they finish eating, Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Without missing a beat, Jesus asks again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter answers again, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." A third time, Jesus asks, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter's hurt by this persistent questioning, and he blurts out, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." To which Jesus replies, "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep." Do you see what's going on in this dialogue with Simon Peter? On the one level, he's giving Peter the opportunity to respond to the three denials that he made during Holy Week. And although Peter had insisted three times that he did not know Jesus, now he affirms three times that he indeed loves his Lord. Three denials, three affirmations. It's as if the slate is now wiped clean. But perhaps there's something different, something more significant going on here. gathered among his friends, the ones he loves and perhaps loves best. Jesus is saying, I have a task for you to do for me. Only you can do it. And it has to do with the work of taking care of my sheep. I now commit them to your care. Be faithful in your task, Peter. As I have loved you, love them. As I have fed you, feed them. As I have forgiven you, forgive them. My sheep are now your sheep, Peter. All I ask you to do, tell them of my love. Tell them, Peter. Tell them. And with that charge, the mission of the church is born. To those who had witnessed the life and ministry of Jesus, his death and resurrection, comes the charge to tell the world the story of Jesus. A story that proclaims God's great love for all humanity and God's plan for the future of the world that God created. In the light of Jesus' resurrection, God's desired plan for the world becomes clearer to the disciples, and it is now their task to spread the good news to all people. Now, this was not a new plan. In fact, it was rooted in the beginning when God created the earth. From the beginning, God created a world to exist in peace and harmony. But when Eve and Adam broke God's trust and ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, everything began to unravel. Their harmonious world was broken by accusations. She made me eat it, says Adam. It's the serpent's fault, says Eve. And things go downhill from there, culminating with their son Cain killing his brother Abel. And the world God created to be good becomes infected with evil of human self-centeredness. And instead of existing in peace and harmony, the world became a bed of strife, hatred, selfishness, distrust, in fear. Instead of unity, the world emerged at war with itself, and people forgot God and God's plan for the world. And God says, I will choose a people through whom the world will know who I am and what I desire for the world. God chose the Hebrews and gave them rules to live by. The Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. Laws that detailed how people were to act toward one another and toward God. But that didn't work so well because laws are easily forgotten when they don't seem to be to our advantage. So God sent prophets to remind the people of the commandments they were expected to follow. But that didn't work either. People, it seems, don't like to be told what to do. There didn't seem to be any successful way for people to be reconciled to one another and to God. So God says, I will do what people can't do for themselves. Instead of expecting them to do what they obviously can't do, I will do it for them. I will do something that will make everything right. I will unify them with each other and with me. I will offer them a gift. I will send my son to show them who I am and how my love is to be shared. And when the son was killed, God says, in spite of their actions, I will offer them forgiveness instead of punishment. And in that act of grace, I will show the world how much I love them. And not just some of them, but all of them. And those few who see and understand what I am doing will receive my Spirit, who will enable them to do as I have done. To respond to a world full of fear, injustice, bigotry, and division with the healing, reconciling power of my forgiveness and love. And beginning with Peter and the disciples, this becomes the mission of the church. It's the reason for our existence. We're to bear witness to the story of God's great love for the world. Having experienced God's love, we are to let our lives and our actions be guided by God's love for us. We are to change our behaviors, not to gain God's favor, but to emulate the one who loves us beyond measure. We are to see in one another a child of God, a brother or a sister who shares with us in being a member of God's family. And we are to see that image of God's children in all people. And let me say that again. In all people. No exceptions. God's family is the world of humanity. Not just those people who think and believe as we do. God's desire is that we all may be one and that all may know that God loves us beyond measure, unconditionally. And God has chosen the church to be the vehicle through which this plan, this mission, is to be fulfilled. The church is to emulate God's love for us and our love for one another. We as a church are to show Jesus to the world as a sign of the awesome love God has for humanity. And we show Jesus best as we serve one another. Not so much with words, but through our actions. Reaching out to all people, seeking to be in relationship with them. Listening to their stories while sharing our own. Reversing the curse of creation by joining in fellowship with those whom we serve. Living out Jesus' command to us, love one another as I have loved you. And that leads us back to the gospel reading this morning. As Jesus gathers with his friends on a beach on the Sea of Tiberias, we are there in their midst. What Jesus is saying to Peter are words he has for us as well, God's beloved people. It's as if he's telling us, I have a task for you to do for me, and it has to do with the work of tending my sheep. I now commit them to your care. Be faithful, my beloved. Follow me. And how do you follow me? As I have loved you, love them. As I have fed you, feed them. As I have forgiven you, forgive them. My sheep are now yours, beloved. Reach out to them. Serve them. Be in relationship with them. Tell them of my love. Tell them, beloved, I have no one else. It's up to you. Tell them. Amen.